Blog Talk Radio.
The man you are searching for is tied up in room 25 at the Acme Hotel on the waterfront.
Hello, hello. Go to the Acme Hotel.
By trucking me here, I suppose you imagine you know who I am.
I've known for some time. Your magic won't save you. The day of the Black Tiger is nearly finished.
You're wrong.
I've left your name with the police along with all the evidence I've gathered against you. The reign of the Black Tiger is over. No. To you, I'll always be the shadow.
Weston speaking.
The Black Tiger is dead. You will find his body at the arcade garage.
Hello, hello.
Her maiden speech was on the perils of alcohol, a brave move for an MP representing a gin manufacturing port. She later brought in a bill to prevent the sale of alcohol to under-18s.
Weren't you a prohibitionist at one time?
Never. I was against having 8 public houses on one street. And that was all. I never was a prohibitionist, but I did believe in the control of drink, because I'd seen it, where a woman said to me at Plymouth, I can get my husband past 4 public houses, but I can't get him past 5 or 6 or 7 or 8. It was appalling.
She held her seat in 1923 and for the next 2 decades. Other women followed her to Westminster, although none of them made quite the same impression in the chamber. The Astors entertained on a grand scale at their many homes and mixed in a glittering crowd. But by the 1930s, their house parties were attracting unfavourable attention. At the time, the British Prime Minister, Neville Chamberlain, was pursuing a policy of appeasement towards Hitler, an approach which had wide support. Winston Churchill was one of the few to speak out against it. Reports started appearing in the press about an elite group intent on appeasement at any cost, meeting regularly at Clifden, the Astors' country home. This so-called Clifden set may have been a myth, but the stories tarnished Nancy Astor's image. When war did break out, she spent much time in Plymouth, which was devastated by the Blitz. But questions over her judgment remained. Her contributions in Parliament were missing their mark, and she was accused of criticising British troops, claims she denied. Nancy seemed to be losing her touch. Her husband sensed what she did not, and he decided she should stand down at the 1945 election.
Well, there, it's my husband. He wants me to get out. It's not my idea. It's almost breaking my heart. I'd rather go down fighting than retire.
Given her career, some might have thought she would be among the first women to join the Lords when life peerages were first awarded in 1958, but she was not selected. She was awarded the freedom of the City of Plymouth in 1959. But to the end, she saw herself as something of an outsider. This large portrait depicting Nancy Astor's arrival at Westminster was presented to Parliament by her husband. The painting, measuring 12 feet by 8, was not well received. It was soon taken down and eventually found its way to Nancy's hometown, where it spent 21 years on a stairwell of the local newspaper office, the Danville Register and Bee. After lobbying by local historians, it is now on show on a more public stairwell in Danville City Hall. Parliament did accept this plaque from her family to mark her achievements. It now hangs close to Central Lobby. Nancy Astor, of course, had her own views on her legacy. At her memorial service, the former Bishop of Plymouth recalled her examining plans for rebuilding the city after the Second World War.
And she said, I do hope they'll keep the city clean, morally and physically. When I die, I don't want any monuments, but I want litter bins scattered all over the city, marked in memory of Lady Astor. Keep the city clean.
Do you think, looking back, that women are as suited mentally to public life as men?
In many ways, I think they're more suited, because they're not so easily... They're not so easily flattered as men are. It was appalling.
She held her seat in 1923 and for the next 2 decades. Other women followed her to Westminster, although none of them made quite the same impression in the chamber.
Say, Ben, want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Okay, Tony, what are you
going to
do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Five,
five. Me too.
Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush. Nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, better.
Politics or poker, which is more important?
Paratrays.
Bet 'em.
Little trays, good as gold.
I'll say.
Raise your five.
I'll call.
I'll hold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Fanyushinkovich, I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out, I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen, and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?